Welcome to the Teacher Rockstar Podcast. I'm your host, Steve Hiles. In today's episode, we're going to be discussing how handwriting impacts a child's confidence with our special guest, Holly Britton. But before we get into today's episode, I want to share just a little bit about her. Today's guest is Holly Britton. She's got a master's degree in education. She's a handwriting instruction specialist, a curriculum designer, and the founder of Squiggle Squad. She's taught everything from kindergarten through eighth grade, and she's passionate about helping kids build strong skills from the very first stroke of the pen. Welcome to the show, Holly.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Would you like to just take a moment to share your educational journey with our audience?
Well, my journey to become a teacher was a surprise to me. I hadn't originally thought that was the way my career was going. Believe it or not, I was in veterinary sciences at UC Davis. That's where I thought I was going to be until I unexpectedly got pregnant with my first baby, which changed my life dramatically. And I went from wanting to go into medicine to wanting to be a mom. And that nurturing piece of me really brought out the teacher in me. And I went a little bit backwards than most that I know in that I started first homeschooling my own children. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of teachers who come out of the classroom to homeschool, but I actually homeschooled and then went into the classroom. So I had my kids young. And so it's given me a lot of time to have this sort of second career. And I've been involved in that, the better part of 20 years now. So okay. I did go ahead, got my master's, my public teaching credential. And in that journey, recognized some of the shortcomings that we were experiencing in the in classroom settings and teaching in general. And so I that's what got me on this whole idea of handwriting as a transcription skill that needs to be taught well from the beginning so that they have a tool going up the academic pipeline to use for learning and communicating.
All right. Thank you. Thank you so much for sharing that. Well, let me go ahead and kick this off with, when was the last time you considered handwriting as more than just neatness? In other words, I mean, could it be, shaping how a child sees their own, intelligence? What's your take on that?
I think my answer to that is twofold. One, I actually experienced it organically teaching my own four children. So hands-on, eyeball to eyeball, one-on-one, watching how writing and reading are inextricably intertwined and how much teaching those two skills well help each other as help, form the brain and language centers of a child's learning journey, all the way up the pipeline, through high school. So, then I found myself in a school where I was teaching in third, fourth, and fifth grade. And so I got a really nice spread of different ages and genders of kids and their struggles. And it was probably there that I really realized that it wasn't so much that it was messy and that I didn't like the way it looked. It was way more important than that. I needed them to have that skill if I was going to teach them the higher level learning that the standards in the school and, dictate that we teach in those grades. And I just kept thinking, they're missing a big piece of the puzzle. And I need them to have that piece if I want them to keep improving.
Absolutely. Well, let me ask you to kind of follow up on that. Do parents pick up on that connection too? Or is it mostly something that teachers notice,
I'm not sure anybody's noticing. I don't get in many conversations that I don't have teachers and parents say, wow, I've never thought of it that way. I've never thought of it that way. Typically this is what I get when people find out what I do. The first thing they say is, oh, you don't want to see my handwriting. The implication being that they're concerned about their handwriting being messy. And so I ask them, I say, are you able to do it with ease and automaticity? Like, are you able to just pick up a pencil and write what you want to write? And do you use it daily? And most people say yes. So we take for granted that we already know that and that we use it as a tool. So the first thing is that. The second thing is cursive. They automatically assume that if I say I'm into handwriting, they'll say something like, oh, it's terrible they don't teach cursive in school anymore. And I'll say, well, you know, half the states are now mandating that teachers teach cursive, but I'd like for them to mandate that they teach handwriting explicitly from kindergarten, period, before they worry too much about a child's ability to do cursive. Because mm-hmm. we haven't really thought what I think the assumption is that all kids are getting explicit instruction in letter formation and handwriting up the pipeline, and they're just not. It's been replaced with other things. So, so I don't think that there's a real connection yet of the importance of writing by hand as opposed to seeing the words on paper. I'm talking about the act, the physical act of kinesthetically moving through language that helps the brain process differently than it would if it were pressing keyboards or, that's a whole nother topic, but yes, it helps us think differently.
Okay. If a student, Holly, struggles with handwriting, okay, how might that frustration spill over in how they participate in other lessons like math and science?
It really depends on the age of the kiddo, how much a struggle handwriting is for him or her, and what the teacher's requiring of them. So I see this early. I work mostly with preschool through first grade kids. Mm-hmm. And what I see in the classroom is that early frustration happens when a teacher asks too much of a student in the way of writing without attention to their inability to actually write letters. So we haven't taken it from the working memory part of the little one's brain to mm-hmm. the automatic part. So they want them to formulate a sentence and write maybe a creative thought, but the kid is still trying to work on how to make the letters on the paper and spell the word correctly. So you're gumming up the working memory. So the teacher has this much higher expectation of the child. The child is trying to meet that, but they are like, it's like putting a ladder up in front of them and taking off the first four rungs and saying, now I want you to climb to the top. Yeah. And the student's trying to reach that fourth rung, but they're just not tall enough. And so the frustration starts there. And I have found the biggest gap, if I'm going to be, you know, just pin it down, is between kinder and first grade. The expectation of what a kinder should know by the time they leave and the expectation of what a first grader should be doing when they start is a chasm that a lot of kids can't bridge.
Wow. You know, that is amazing. Now, are there small shifts that we can make in the moment to keep kids engaged?
100%. And the good news is it's not hard. This is not rocket science. Mm-hmm. This is writing letters. But what needs to happen first is there needs to be a real true understanding by the teachers teaching them and the parents helping them that this matters. It's not just about messy handwriting. This is about a transcription skill. And anybody who's teaching a child a sport or a musical instrument would not just put a song in front of them, not just put them into a game and say, play. Yeah. There's a lot of steps in between that first game and the drills that you do in school. And so we need to give those kids, it is first and foremost a motor skill. Kids need to build the dexterity, the eye-hand coordination, mm-hmm. the visuospatial skills necessary, not to mention the letter knowledge. Like, you're asking them to write a symbol for a sound, and they don't even know what that means yet. They're still thinking very concretely, and that's a very abstract thought. We need to give the brain, we need to give biology time to do its job while we slowly expose and support the child as they emerge into this language knowledge.
The Teacher Rockstar Academy course is meticulously designed to equip you with the tools and strategies needed to skyrocket your effectiveness as a teacher. Curious to know if the Teacher Rockstar Academy course is the missing piece in your teaching journey? If you're ready to reclaim control of your classroom and witness the incredible impact on your students, then use the link in the podcast description to learn more about this program. All right, that's cool. Now, let me ask you this. Could grading or commenting on written work without addressing handwriting skills unintentionally chip away at a student's confidence?
Yes. And moreover, and maybe worse, it detracts from the actual learning objective that you are trying to help your kid learn. So the first thing you need to ask yourself as a teacher or parent is, what is my end goal with this lesson, with this, in this quarter of school, in this semester? What do I want to see my little ones accomplish? And then what are the incremental steps that I'm going to do to get there? And if my goal requires them write by hand, then we need to first make sure that they can write by hand. And if it doesn't, then let's think of other modalities to teach that objective that does not require that higher expectation of handwriting, which is much, much harder than learning to read or speak. You know, it's mm-hmm. a higher level learning. So we just need to let that grow into the child and separate. And this is what my product does differently than anything else. We separate motor skill from letter learning until the kiddo is cognitively ready, physically ready to put that all together.
Okay. You know, so what is the right balance between, you know, pushing for improvement, but yet not jeopardizing a child's confidence?
Yeah, that's great. First of all, you recognize them for what they can do, mm-hmm. and they are praised and encouraged for what they can do. And then it's up to us to give that next incremental challenge that we know they can accomplish without, yes, with struggle. That's a thing, and it's important, but not with so much failure that they believe they can't. So Absolutely. It is really up to us to evaluate and observe where that child is and meet them where they're at. Give them, that's what we talk about in school when we use that word differentiation, which gets thrown around way too much. But the idea is, I know I'm going to have these kids that are taking a little bit longer to get up to where I want them to be. Then I have my middle group and then I have my high end group. We need to have lesson plans that accommodate those three levels we need to change the language about it. It's not that these kids are behind. It's that these kids are developing a little bit differently than the others. And it's not their fault. We need to accommodate them so that we are training their brain in their stage. And I think you get a lot less frustration. And moreover, you get more intrinsic reward that feeds that child's desire to learn when you give them developmentally appropriate challenges.
All right. Now, I know this would probably be a great question for all the first-year teachers out there, but in an age of keyboards and tablets, how much space should handwriting still have in classrooms today, in your opinion?
That's a big question. Yeah, so my very first, like, you know, nobody likes to hear this, but it depends. It depends on the age and stage of the children. It depends on how, like, if you were to ask that, if you're a first year teacher teaching third grade.
Okay.
There's a lot of questions around making that answer happen because you need to know what kind of handwriting level we're at. Can the kids, my guess is in this day and age, you're not going to get kids that are efficiently, quickly, with fluency writing automatically. So it depends on how much you're required. It also depends on your school system, because a lot of them say, you know, you don't have to write anymore. We're going to do keyboarding. Well, in that case, if you're going to do that, which I don't agree with, but if you are going to do that, then you need to absolutely require they know keyboarding, because that's another transcription skill that's not being taught. They're going onto keyboards early. They're poking, chicken pecking. If we're lucky with two fingers, I actually had kids in fifth grade typing with one finger, and I was supposed to teach them an essay. It's not going to happen. So transcription skill in general is very weak in terms of our pedagogy and methodologies for imparting those skills to our kids. And so the upper level teachers are having a much harder time. So time-wise, if I had to do a, you know, rote thing, I would say kids should absolutely be having 15 minutes inside of kindergarten. By the end of kindergarten, they should be at 15 to 20 minutes. Maybe you start with 5, go to 10. By the end, you're doing 20. And if you are teaching other subjects and you need them to write, they still need to be coached on proper letter formation, spacing, and baseline placement. That has to happen. And if it doesn't, they go up the pipeline with bad handwriting habits that other teachers can't break, because now it's ingrained in the muscle memory. So all of that has to happen super early.
Okay. How might early wins in handwriting help a student feel more capable in reading, math, you know, and beyond?
Well, that's an easy one in some ways, because if you have taught them how to write it and it has become easy for them to write it, then when your assignments require handwriting, and you don't even think of writing your math problems as being handwriting, but that is writing by hand.
That's right. Yeah.
And if they are struggling, they're writing bottom to top or backwards, and they're struggling with getting it down on paper up here in their working memory, then they don't have enough cognitive space to tackle the problem that you've given them or the objective that you're asking them to meet. So by giving them the skill, we tuck it back away in that place of long-term memory, then they have better brain space to tackle the science problem or the math problem, et cetera.
Okay. Well, let me ask you this to kind of follow up on that. How can teachers set up these early wins without it feeling forced?
Feeling forced in what way? Like forcing handwriting?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. I would say incremental learning. So if you know that your kids are really, really little and they're still working on motor skill, don't make it all about writing letters. Do things that help their motor skills. Put them out on the playground and make them do the monkey bars. That's hand strength. Give them Play-Doh or manipulatives so that they can do pinching and pushing and sorting. That's dexterity. Mm-hmm. Do things that require they drop things into other spaces. That's eye-hand coordination. All of that goes to help. Then start them on cause and effect, like painting on a vertical surface, or crayons where they can actually use different colors and see that my movement of my hand creates this thing on paper. Then we move up to holding a pencil and specifically making shapes. Well, you don't have to make letters to make shapes. You can start by dot to dot, or tracing a circle, or tracing a square. And that, in those cases, directionality is not so important. But once you start introducing letters, directionality matters. So we can't just say, oh, you're going to write your name for 3 years in a row, and I'm going to let you write that A however you want, because the motor memory sinks in. It gets ingrained. And I'm not kidding when I say I had fifth graders that whose names still look like they were in kindergarten, that put capital letters in the middle of their names randomly wherever they felt like it, because nobody had ever shown them differently. They were told in preschool that they were doing a good job, and they never changed going up the pipeline. But it's not just their name. It's all letters, which really detracts from a child's fluid flowing motion. And if my hand doesn't flow, it's very hard for my thoughts to flow.
Wow. Wow. That's a tall order, huh?
It is.
Well, let me ask you, Holly, if you had to pick one thing, tell me what is your biggest takeaway that you would like to share with our audience today? I know there's probably a million of them, but if you could just pick one, what would it be?
I think it would be that handwriting matters, and it's more than a sloppy writing issue. And if you tell a sloppy writer to write better, mm-hmm. they are not going to be able to change if you don't tell them how. If you don't tell them why their sloppy writing is sloppy or why it even matters. I mean, really, like if it's a style issue, then we shouldn't be having this conversation. But it's so much more than a style issue. This is a learning issue. This is mm-hmm. a literacy issue. This is a communication issue. So handwriting does matter. Even into adulthood, we think differently. We process things differently when we write by hand.
Okay, very good. Now, how can folks connect with you if they want to reach out and find a little bit more about the Squiggle Squad?
They can find us at squigglesquad.com, of course.
Okay.
I have a growing blog called Holly on Handwriting, which is found in the About section of squigglesquad.com. You okay. can follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Squiggle Squad Handwriting. And you can reach me personally at holly@squigglesquad.com if you want to reach out.
Okay, outstanding. You know, Holly, I really appreciate really you being, you know, you taking the time to come on the show today because this is obviously a very important topic. And we'd love to have you back again to share more of your great insights.
Thank you.
If you'd like. Yeah,
I'd love
absolutely.
It. I'd love it.
All righty. Well, there we have it, my friend. We have come to the end of today's episode, and we will see you same time, same place next week. And always remember, you got this.
You've been listening to the Teacher Rockstar Podcast with your host, Steve Hiles. We hope you've enjoyed this podcast as much as we have. Make sure to hit that subscribe button and join our ever-growing community of Teacher Rockstars. Until then, thanks for listening.